Blog Talk Radio.
Now, I'm 39, right? And I still love rap music. I love rap music, man. I love it. But I'm tired of defending it. Because you got to defend rap music, man. Because people always go, that's not music. That's not art. That's garbage. How can you listen to that garbage? How can you listen to that trash? And in the old days, it was easy to defend rap music. It was easy to defend it on an intellectual level. You could break it down intellectually why Grandmaster Flash was art, why Run DMC was art, why Houdini was art and music. You could break it down intellectually, okay? And I love all the rappers today, but it's hard to defend this shit. It's hard, man. It's hard to defend I Got Hoes in Different Area Codes. It's hard to defend, move, bitch, get out the way. Well, as you can see, there's a bitch in his way that he needs to move.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in a cosmos, where no time and space do exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a logic.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
What's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. Afro Nerd Radio. The time, 7.02 p.m., the date, October 10th, 2012. Folks, we have a fully packed hour of education and edutainment. And I tell you something, that particular skit with the great Chris Rock, I think it's a few years old now. And would you believe that, in my estimation, the rap music that he's critiquing has actually gotten worse? I almost long for the days of Little John. I repeat, I almost long for the days of Little John, because it has actually gotten exponentially worse since even then. Anyway, without further ado, we've got to give you some urban alternative before we get into the discourse. This is, well, it's always the same guy. I'm going to be self-indulgent, folks, so apologies go all around. This is His Royal Badness channeling the Godfather of Soul, talking loud and saying nothing. Let's groove, folks.
Come on.
Okay, folks, I had to cut that groove once again. Actually, I was mistaken. I believe that is a live rendition. He was channeling the great James Brown, but I believe that actual cut was, "I don't want nobody to give me nothing. I don't want nobody to give me nothing." I believe that is the cut. Anyway, this is Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk is in the field, but he is still very much with us. So without further ado, I've got to give him a call. Captain, you are most certainly needed on the bridge. Let's get to it, sir.
Space, a final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
I must say, that intro sounded a little different. But here's the thing. This is what I must say. A friend of the show, a.k.a. Martin Adams, Chippewa Valley Predators coach, who we have interviewed a few times on the show, his father went through a surgery with his heart. He pulled through very strong, as we know, you know. He has those type of genes to pull through very strong. So he did very well with that. So he's doing very well. He recovered very well, and everything's going well with that. And I'd like to shout out to his sister, Tara Adams. We call her Tootsie, for the uninitiated. Tootsie, I'd like to give her a shout out. Via underneath the strength of Martin Adams, because if we did not interview Martin Adams, we wouldn't be giving Tootsie a shout out. So that being said, let's get the show started, sir.
Okay. No problem. And again, our wishes and our best wishes, speedy recovery for the Adams family and for the father, the patriarch of the Adams family. He is definitely in our prayers, and they are in our prayers. Let me give a quick applause for them. All right. If you notice, Captain, we have some updates. I actually gave you yet another Star Trek intro. You are correct. It is
different. I noticed.
That's from the Star Trek animated cartoon.
Yeah, baby. Sounds good.
So we have to always update the great captain on occasion. Folks, once again, you're listening to Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. Don't be scared. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Listen, we have a tight show, so we're going to have to get through a lot of things. If the captain will indulge me for a moment, a couple of things I want to get off my chest in a real brief manner. One, actually, I was on Rob Redding's show again. Right before this broadcast, actually, Rob Redding, young broadcaster from Sirius, I believe he's stationed in Atlanta, and he's on Sirius XM as well as a few other radio outlets. So they were discussing affirmative action. I know there's a case in Texas, Fisher versus the University of Texas, and it's all about, Supreme Court's hearing this, all about affirmative action, and rightfully so. Mr. Redding was going on about what happens if we lose it. We must still go on. We must still go on. So I called in, and I have a quick clip of the conversation. And you guys probably know where I'm going to weigh in. I think we do need affirmative action, but I think that we still need to be able to roll if it does go away. It's that simple and plain. So this is yours truly on Rob Redding. No more than an hour ago. Hold on.
That's the way this would work. I'm telling you it would work. It would work. You won't need affirmative action. I'm telling you. Afro Nerd New York
Rob, nice to hear from you.
Good to talk to you.
I tell you something. This very issue is what caused me to rethink liberalism. I would never downplay or deride affirmative action. It has its place, or maybe it had its place. But there's something about liberalism with what it has done or taught black people. There's an aspect of it that is very disturbing. It makes it seem as if we can't survive without it. We saw black folk 100 years ago go to Harvard and Columbia. I'm thinking of W.E.B. Du Bois and Paul Robeson for sure. There has been a strain of intellectualism many years ago in the black community that we need to get back to. Currently, there's a strain of anti-intellectualism in the black community. When we talk about Asian folk, I don't think Asian folk are sweating this. And what it goes down to, not about genetics, has nothing to do with genetics, but it's about preparedness. And I am a proud graduate of Hampton and St. John's Universities, respectively. So I also appreciate the fact that we need to have black folks about HBCUs anyway. Heck, those of Jewish descent have been about yeshivas. We are the only ones that are shamed into not supporting our own. But the main thing I have to say, though, is we have to get into a cultural shift, Rob, seriously.
Yep.
Going back to the Asian folk, not, it's all about perception now, just perception. But when I see these people, anecdotally, young folk, they have that book in hand, they're in school longer, they're studying longer, there's a lot of things going on, and we have to be about the same thing like we used to be. Why can't we talk this way?
Yep, absolutely. I agree. Afro Nerd, hey, thanks for your phone call. As always, on the money.
Hey, you know what? Folks, I'm going to give my own damn self an applause. Captain, what did you think? What did you think, Captain?
I think, as usual, you know, you did a hell of a job. Tremendous. You hit it right on the nail. We have to be prepared regardless. And this is something that we talk about behind the scenes from time to time also. You have to be prepared regardless whoever is in the White House, whether it's Obama or Romney. You have to do what you have to do. That's regardless of whatever happens. That's the reality of it. And you nailed it, and you hit it exactly right on point. So there you have it, sir.
One more thing, Captain, if you'd indulge me. I have to mention something. I'm riffing a little bit, but I have to mention something. There's a theme with AfroNerd Radio, AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk, and it has a lot to do not just with preparedness, but also this notion of blackness, this notion of a type of preferred blackness that is consistently promoted. It's a type of blackness, as opposed to there being many types of blackness or a variety of blackness. There seems to be a sole type of blackness that is always perceived as authentic. And when we talk about President Barack Obama, who I think exemplifies blackness most definitely, but there's always a question mark with him, and I can't figure it out exactly why. And I've mentioned before that there's this certain way that some black people, I'll go back into the lower tier, my fondness for this word, is a lower tier, ghetto-centric perception of black that is never questioned for authenticity. And I suspect, Captain, that there's a number of black folks that truly want a President Snoop Dogg to go into the halls of Congress and to pimp slap the senators and the congressmen. Break yourself, fool. I think those type of Negroes want that type of black person. It's a fantasy. Heck, I have a comical fantasy of this. I would say that some folks would want to see President Snoop Dogg with three women of the night in tow, big booties and all, French manicures. Okay, that might be my thing. French manicures, pedicures, and slapping these white men in the halls of Congress. That is what I suspect you lower tier black folks really want. I think it's what you want, Captain. What do you think about that, President Snoop Dogg? 2016.
Well, here's the reality of the situation. President Snoop Dogg will not work because the president has to represent the whole embodiment of the people, and that's not going to work. All right, that represents a certain demographic. That would work, but we're dealing with the whole of the United States of America, which deals with over 300 million people. So that type of mentality, that type of thinking altogether would not work for the American people. We need someone who that we see is polished, who went to a certain school, who was brought up a certain way. That's what we need in order to run the country, and that's what we expect here in America. We don't expect Mr. I'll slap you bitch to be the president. No, that's not going to work. That might work for other things, but that's not going to work for the presidency. So there you have it, Sir Afro Nerd.
Listen, we hear this all the time. I've been hearing my fair share of black radio, and there are a number of callers that are very despondent about the president. And I said this before, I think if anything, if the man is able to get into a second term, maybe we can see some things. Maybe we can see some things if we were to see a second term. But the first term is all about him staying there. And I don't understand why some of us, if we're going to be tribal, why some of us can't seem to get this larger picture, this insistence that he must be this uber Negroidian black person that no one is going to be able – we will never see that in our lifetime. We will never see that in a lifetime. But we insist that he must do something of that of that nature. It's never going to happen. All right, enough of that. Let's get into some of the topics. It's a short show. Looks like the beauteous Stacey Dash is having some problems, Captain. Stacey Dash is having some problems. Initially, I believe she sent out a tweet that she was going to support Governor Mitt Romney, and she should be respected for having her own opinion. Folks are coming on out about her having ulterior motives. She's getting death threats. She's getting all kinds of vitriol. What's wrong with people? You know, when you color code who you vote for, you lose credibility. And to hamper on this woman for making this decision, whatever is going on. Some folks, again, are saying that she has ulterior motives. I don't know that. But I do know that she has the right to independent thought. And it's more important, really, Captain, that the majority of or a great majority of other folk, not just black people, vote for Barack Obama. It's not really – all about black people. It's mostly about everybody else. Let me play this clip of the Young Turks. Let me just show you how the conditioning works. Even the liberals have a conditioning process when it comes to black folk. Look how the conditioning process works with how they are deriding Stacey Dash. This is the Young Turks on Stacey Dash coming out for Mitt Romney. Hold on.
Actress Stacey Dash has gone to Twitter to basically show her support for Mitt Romney, which is pretty surprising. She is the actress who's known for her role in Clueless. And on Twitter, she said the following: "Vote for Romney, the only choice for your future, at Mitt Romney, at Team Romney, hashtag Mitt Romney, hashtag vote Romney." And then she tweeted this photo of herself.
Okay, I'm just not sure who she's for. I wasn't quite clear on that. Now, earlier when we were discussing this story, I said, who is that and why does anybody care? Turns out Clueless is now 20 years old, which, again, I'm Grandpa Jenk. I can't believe that Clueless is 20 years old.
What's Clueless? I'm kidding.
Get it? Da-da-da. All right. So I realized once I saw a picture why this story is relevant.
Mm-hmm.
It's a black person for Romney. Oh, my God. Can you believe it? And I think that's why people are paying more attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a second tweet, right?
Yes. In her second tweet, she wrote, "Women have had enough of Barack Obama's disappointment. We need new leadership to get our economy growing again."
Now, there's got to be a second element to this, right? Which is that I think 20 years later, has she done a single other movie? Maybe one other that I saw?
She was in a Kanye West music video.
Huh. Well, then her career must be taking off. Okay.
She looked good in that music video, I must admit.
No, she looks fantastic there, except that apparently she hasn't gotten a role in several decades. That's what this is. Come on. You think that Romney's better for women than Obama? I mean, there's a lot to criticize President Obama over.
You know what
But women's rights, Lilly Ledbetter, et cetera, Romney's going to be better?
Yeah.
Come on.
You know what I think about Republican women. I've said it before.
Yeah, I know. So I'm not buying any of this. She knew that as a black actress, she's going to get more hype for coming out for in favor of Romney, and then she might be relevant again. That's my best guess. Otherwise, she is actually clueless.
No, dude. She appeared in Playboy. She's been doing all right.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Yeah. But
get it.
See, that probably wasn't a ploy for attention either. Since that didn't work, she's like, what else do I have to do? I already showed you my badge.
Well, you know what? It worked. She's getting the attention she wants. We're talking about her, so.
Yeah, well, I suppose.
All right, folks, let me get the captain way in on this. I will say briefly that, you know, I just find it disturbing that this woman is being pigeonholed into a certain belief system. There's a strain of her being black, and it's an oddity for her to vote for Mitt Romney. Again, I don't know about the ulterior motives, but I think it's unfair to speculate, and they're unfair about her career also. I mean, she has worked within the 20 years, maybe nothing high profile per se. I say per se, but she has worked. So to make it seem as if she has done nothing and this is some – there's got to be some reason why she's doing this, because she's black and she should be doing the black thing. I think that is disturbing. And she admitted she voted for President Barack Obama the first go around. I will say that I think there's some issues with her knowledge base. I think some of what she says is coming from a state of not, her maybe not being that informed. But it's not my place to go in on this woman simply because she has a difference of opinion. Let's get the captain in on this and get his opinion. Captain, what are your thoughts on Stacey Dash?
All right. First, even though this is taught at the high school level, and it's also taught at the college level, I will iterate it again for the listener, okay? This is the prerequisite before you take the higher learning classes. There is three branches of government. There's executive, there's legislative, and there's judicial, all right? And that's done for the reasons that our founding fathers did that. The reason why they did that is because one branch could block the other branch in order for other things to pass. So that means the president is only one man. The president is only a cheerleader at the end of the day. Everybody must understand that. That's the first thing. Because he is a cheerleader at the end of the day, based on how the system is set up. Now, what did the gay community do? They got together and said, this is what we want, and they presented it to the president. They did that. No problem. What has the black community done? The black community has never gotten together and presented anything to the president over the years, whether it's Bush, whether it's Obama, whether whoever it is in the White House. Black community doesn't do that. They can't sit down and say, all right, we want A, B, C, D, and this to get done. They don't do that. They want to be told that this should be done by the president because he's black. The president is the president of everybody. There's over 300 million people here. That's what everyone must understand. Now, let's get into Stacey Dash now. Now that we understand that, Stacey Dash is an individual. She has some star power. She is allowed to vote for anybody that she wants to vote for, regardless for whatever reason that she may find. That's what this is all about. This is what America is all about. It's supposed to be about freedom. You're allowed to say, I can vote for this person, I can vote for that person. That's what it's all about. So what Stacey Dash is doing, she's okay. It's all right. It's nothing to be criticized. Just as when you go to vote, if you're black and you want to vote for Romney, or if you're white and you want to vote for Obama, that's your prerogative. You're allowed to do that. That's what America is about at the end of the day. And that's what it's all about. That's what America is supposed to be about. And that's what the founding fathers were about. That's the whole ideology. So all this foolishness, this rhetoric that we're talking about, is total nonsense. Back over to you, Sir Affleck.
Well, we have a call. I'm going to get the caller on. But I'll say this much, Captain. This is kind of embarrassing. This is, you know, it's embarrassing because it shows a loss of credibility. It shows a loss of credibility. Just with Gabby Douglas, when all those black women, or I should say a segment of the female black population or Twitter base went in on her because of her hair, they totally neglected this young woman's accomplishment during the Olympics and went into something innocuous. Now here we go with lambasting this actress, calling her, oh, she's old, she's a has-been. I mean, really, all this anger. And listen, you can speculate again why she's voting for Mitt Romney, or she's claiming to vote for Mitt Romney. But the bottom line is you cannot, you know, get into her physical threats. I mean, this is ridiculous. It is really a shame, and you lose credibility. And the bottom line is, if all the black folk in this country voted for President Barack Obama, and I think he has definitely over the 90th percentile range, it still would not get him into the office. You need to be more concerned with other ethnicities supporting this man more so than a few independent black folks who think a certain way. And it's just ridiculous. And we look foolish, and we look as if we have no credibility. Let's go into the lines to our listeners. Caller, welcome to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, 732. Hello? 732? All right. I think they are just listening, just holding on maybe. All right. These things happen. Captain, I tell you what I want to do. I want to go to a musical. No, actually, before that, you know what I want to do? I want to play one clip of Stacey Dash herself. She was on Piers Morgan last night. Let's give her the courtesy of her own voice, and then we're going to go to a musical break. This is Stacey Dash on Piers Morgan. Unfortunately, having to explain herself, you really shouldn't have to explain anything, but she's on there to explain herself as to why she's supporting Mitt Romney. Here we go.
The idea that you as a black actress would come under such venomous attack purely because you decided you wanted to vote for one of the two candidates, I think is extremely objectionable. How have you dealt with the fallout from all this?
Well, you know, people are going to have their own opinion, and that's the point. We're all entitled to our opinion. And I used my platform to exercise my First Amendment right as an American citizen to say who I am choosing to vote for.
And the interesting thing to me is you voted for Barack Obama at the last election.
Yes, I did.
So you were a Democrat then.
Yes.
Why have you decided to change to Mitt Romney?
I would say because of the state of the country. Mm-hmm. And I want the next 4 years to be different. And I believe him. You know, I've watched him for a while. And then when I watched him, the governor, and his wife on Meet the Press mm-hmm. with David Gregory, they spoke to me, and they seemed authentic and genuine in what they said about this country and the need for us to be united and move forward and, you know, really bring up our economy, make money.
Yeah. You said vote for Romney, the only choice for your future. Hardly the most scandalous thing ever. Let me ask you this. Do you think it's purely because you are a famous black woman, or is it because you are an actress and there aren't many actresses, full stop, who are Republicans? What do you think has been the predominant factor in the fury?
You know, in the fury, I really don't understand the fury. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Were you shocked? Were you saddened?
Yes.
Were you angry?
Shocked, saddened, not angry. Saddened and shocked. Really shocked. But you know what? You can't expect everyone to agree with you.
These people here, this is somebody who tweeted, you're an unemployed black woman endorsing Mitt Romney. You're voting against yourself thrice, you poor, beautiful idiot. And somebody else just put, kill yourself, you old hag.
Wow, really?
I mean, really disgusting.
That is, that's pretty harsh. I just feel that, you know, as a country, this is my choice. This is the man I want to lead my country.
Right. I mean, I suppose the real...
It is my right as an American citizen. It's my constitutional right to have my choice of who I want to vote for, but for president.
And I feel very strongly you should be allowed to have it.
And I chose him, not by the color of his skin, but the content of his character.
There you go, folks. Again, I think what she said has a great deal of validity, and beyond that, I mean, she has her right to do this without all the vitriol and all the anger. And these folks, to me, they lose credibility by going in on her that way. If anything, listen, I'm a registered Republican myself. However, I will give Barack Obama on the national level my vote, and locally, I will give Republicans my vote. I have the right for independent thought. I think she should talk with a bit more information. I mean, the man had 3.5 years to correct what was tantamount to the Great Depression for the new millennium. Even FDR was given 4 terms for correction. Let me repeat that, folks. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was given 4 terms to elicit correction. This man gets 3.5 years. So there's something patently unfair about that. So I would prefer for people to speak with a bit more information, whether you're going to vote for Barack Obama or Mitt Romney. There's got to be some information as to what you're doing and why you're doing it. But beyond that, she should be respected for having her own opinion. It shouldn't be this big a deal. Anyway, quick musical break. I think the caller is back, so we will entertain the call after this quick musical break. I also want to transition into a brief story of a Nobel Prize winner. Folks, when you hear this story, it is a lesson in life. It is a lesson in life about this Nobel Prize winner. It goes by what I always say, be very leery of people who label themselves experts. Be very leery of people who tell you implicitly and with great verve that they know what's best for you. Be careful of that. Anyway, this is Miguel Miggs. We're giving you the best of urban alternative, folks, black rock, urban alternative, afropunk. This is Miguel Miggs. Don't stop. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove again. We'll be right back. pulling out the phaser once again. That was Miguel Miggs. Don't stop. Miguel Miggs, don't stop. Folks, we're back once again. The call-in number, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. We're going to do a quick transition to Sir John Gurdon, Sir John Gurdon, a biologist that recently won the Nobel Prize. But I do want to go to our caller. Let's get to it once again. Caller, welcome to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. Tell us who you are and where you are calling from. 732.
Gentlemen, ECG here from New Jersey. Interesting. I just heard about your station today. Interesting rhetoric, and I thought I'd like to chime in.
Sure.
Tell the country lose the prefix. We're all Americans. If there was a white TV network, the hell would go on in this country? There'd be all kinds of just screaming, killing, and you know what have you. But that's all I got to say, man. We're all Americans. Vote for who you want. Everybody works for themselves. Everybody makes their own, and then that's life.
Well, listen. Let me have you. Let me hold you on for a second. I agree with you to a certain degree. Listen, in the case of Stacey Dash, these folks are losing all credibility. This woman is one person. She's entitled to vote for whoever she wants to vote for. This whole
we're all entitled.
You know, but to liberal. You know, the whole definition of liberal means easygoing, accepting. How are people who call themselves liberal telling them you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing? You're not fitting into the box that we give you. So I take issue with that. Now, the only problem with what you said is that, you know, this whole thing about, well, you know, if we had white stations and that kind of thing, I hear what you're saying. The only thing about that is CBS, NBC, they are white stations. The reason why you have a black entertainment television, because at some point, black folk, people of color, were not allowed in those stations or not allowed
and
to have.
And CBS, NBC, and ABC are all backing any Democrat because they want to keep separation in this country. They want to see conflict because that's what keeps things going. The entitlements and everybody deserves this and that. You know what? Earn your own keep, people. Everybody has the same opportunity. The Civil War is over. The 60s are over. We're all equal. Why do we keep diversity?
Well, you know, listen, I hear what you're saying. I don't necessarily disagree with you, but there's got to be places where we have to think. Like, some folks are being held back, but at the same time, other folks are able to rise to the occasion. So I hear what you're saying, but there's got to be a place for nuance. I think the bottom line is, what do we ascribe to color? Just because someone says that they're a black person, do you think negatively? Do you see this person as John or Robert or Maxwell? Do you see the black guy Maxwell? Do you see the white guy Robert?
So this, I see this, an American.
You're one of the few.
I see an American. You know, when you're in the battlefield, whether it be Vietnam or Afghanistan, there's no color barriers there. And we can embrace it, you know. Yeah,
you know what?
You got to keep going forward, guys. Black, white, Asian, short, tall, red hair, blue eye. I mean, come on, man. Let's stop with the diversity and all become one. Nobody's pushing for that. Everybody wants a little special notice. Everybody wants to say, oh, you know, I've got this, I got that. You know what? You can get beyond it. Millions of people have. Push
we
that agenda.
All right. We hear you. Thank
you
for
your
call.
I'm going to keep listening, and I'd like to chime in again.
No problem. We appreciate it.
EC, signing out.
Thank you. Captain, what are your thoughts with EC from Jersey?
Well, EC from Jersey made some very valid points. Very valid points. Very valid points. I understand his perspective. I understand where he's coming from. From those standpoints. And that's all I want to say about it at this given time.
Yeah. You know, we can go in on that. You know, I guess I'm somewhat nuanced about what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat nuanced about his saying. I think regardless of what goes down, people are going to have to deal.
That's right.
Whatever goes down, if things go away, you have to be prepared to roll with the punches. So, but I do feel that, you know, there is a judgment process going on based on what people look like, where you live, how much money you make. People do judge now. You have to be able to deal with that.
That's and also how educated you are. Let's put that in there, too. Let's keep that.
That's true, too.
That's right.
The world does not necessarily operate the way that he sees it. Just as a flip side, if some liberals see things should be this way, things should be more fair, that's not – it's somewhere in between. That's why I think I'm a moderate conservative captain. There's an argument in the gray area, because what he's saying is not really reality. And what liberals say about things should be this, things should be that, that's not reality also. But there's a gray area.
That's correct.
I want to move along to Sir John Gurton. Sir John Gurton. Now, I don't think too many people are aware of his accomplishment, but he is a Nobel Prize winner, a British developmental biologist. Now, I want to play this clip, Captain. This is very important. I think what he's accomplished is very important, but his backstory is really about life. And you and I talked about this before. So I'm going to play. This is Sir John Gurton talking about what's happened to him, and we'll dig in. John Gurton speaks. Hold on, folks.
Well, at 7:30, I got a call from an Italian newspaper, which said, what did I think about the Nobel Prize? So I said, well, I have no information whatever. They seemed surprised. So I said, well, I think you'll find this just the speculation. People like to guess, and so you've probably heard some speculations on the matter. And then at 8:30, a very nice man from the, I suppose, Swedish Academy or whatever it is, called up and said, we've decided to award you this prize, and was very gracious and so on, and said enough things to make me believe that he was, in fact, the right person, because you can always have people pulling your leg.
I understand that you keep a note in your office written by an old school teacher, which is rather less complimentary.
Yeah.
I just wanted you to tell us about the note, what it says, and why you still keep it.
Yes, it was. I was at a school where you did no science till the age of 15. And then I did one term of science, and the schoolmaster wrote this report, details of which I can't exactly remember. But the main gist of it was that he had heard that Gurton was interested in doing science. And that this was a completely ridiculous idea, because there was no hope whatever of my doing science, and any time spent on it would be a total waste of time, both on my part and the part of the person having to teach him. So that completely terminated my science at school. And when you have problems like an experiment doesn't work, which often happens, it's nice to remind yourself that perhaps, after all, you're not so good at this job, and schoolmaster may have been right. I would see the contribution of the work.
All right, folks, that was Sir John Gurton. I don't know if you got all of that. I'm going to explain, but I want the captain to weigh in on this. What are your thoughts about this great biologist's contribution? And I mean, it is a tale of life, Captain. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, this type of situation happens all the time. When I was in sixth grade, my teacher told me by the time I was 30, I would be doing a life sentence. I also had a bus driver tell me, because, you know, when you get to junior high school, you take the special. He said, yeah, by the time you're 25, you're going to be locked up for doing 20 to life. Told me that in seventh grade. Hasn't happened, and it's not going to happen. You understand? So it's the type of thing that happens all the time. Time tells everything. Time tells everything. And sometimes, should I say not sometimes, let me take that back. A lot of times you just can't tell, especially when you're dealing with the youth. Things just work themselves out, and people just come around a lot of times. Sometimes you could tell. Sometimes you have a jewel right there from the beginning. You say, this person is going to be this person is going to be that. Sometimes that doesn't even work out. But sometimes you can tell. But based on my own experience, my own empirical evidence, I was told early on, by the time I'm 30, I would be doing a life sentence. I'm over 30 for the uninitiated. I'm over 30. Life sentence didn't take place. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. So these type of things happen all the time. They saw that this person was, like, you know, aloof, probably all over the place, and they said, you know, you really don't have the aptitude. You don't have the mentality. You don't have the demeanor. You don't have the comportment. You understand? You really just don't have it, have the initiative to be this type of person. You're wasting the time. And then as you mature, certain things just manage to happen. And then you end up somewhere where people thought that you would not end up. This is what happens. So, you know, the joke is on that person who wrote up all that informational diatribe on this particular individual. It happens. It definitely happens. Back over to you, Sir Afflenerd.
Yeah, you know, well, first of all, in listening to Sir John Gurdon, I really long for a British accent, Captain. Lower tier, Jaguar. you folks are lucky that I need to spend the captain and myself. We need to be broadcasting from London for a good year. A good year so I can pick up some kind of British accent. These lower tier, Captain. I tell you, folks, you would be in trouble if I have a British accent. I want one. Anyway, beyond that. Anyway, for those who are in the know with Sir John Gurdon, if you don't know him, I'm sure you know of Dolly the Sheep. His groundbreaking work was responsible for cloning Dolly the Sheep, perhaps a well-known accomplishment, as well as his work in stem cell research. And mind you, he's 79 now, but in 1949, as a lad, a schoolmaster told him that, you know, you're not proficient in science. You really shouldn't pursue science as a career. It's a joke. Many years later, imagine if he listened to this man. When it comes down to the future of medicine and biology, if you need a limb, and we always talk about, it's very, very well known about rejection, cellular rejection, that, it, you know, of course you can transplant someone else's heart into another person's body, and that goes on even to this day. But it is not ideal. If you're able to grow a heart or grow a liver, it is directly going to be related to Sir Gurdon's work. But in 1949, someone tried to discourage him. And what amazes me, Captain, is that people do this all the time with such great certainty. That's why we have AfroNerd Radio and Afro featuring Captain Kirk. We have to stop this dumbing down of people. Stop believing the okie doke. And this can go into the racial thing. We know that Malcolm X received a similar speech from a teacher many years ago, telling him, he said he wanted to be an attorney, and that teacher said something to the effect, in a grotesque way, niggers cannot be attorneys. So he was discouraged on some level. He went into a brief stint of thuggery and came out of it being perhaps one of the most profound orators and black leaders the world has ever seen. An excellent command of the English language. And this man spoke at Oxford, spoke all around the country to the educated elite, Captain, and not being formally educated, but well-educated, well-read, but not formally educated. So at some point, he still survived and thrived. But it goes to tell you that I suspect even to this day, we have adults, we have, and I hate to use the word haters, but we have haters that will discourage people with such certainty as if they really know. You should never discourage a child. You need, even if you think he or she may be having problems understanding things. I do not believe that person, if they're not given the opportunity or given the patience, they will soon get it. Why does it matter if someone does not get it quickly? If it takes a day as opposed to 10 minutes, who cares? Once you get it, you get it. And again, this man gets a Nobel Prize. Someone told him years ago, nah, you shouldn't really do this science thing, not for you. It's laughable. It's laughable. Captain, we got about 6 minutes. Anything else on Sir John Gurton?
Well, I think you said a nutshell right there. I think you essentially covered everything that needed to be covered pertaining to that situation. I have nothing more to add as far as that goes.
No, it's here. You know it's here. Garage, to my UK fan base. I'm trying. I'm trying. Trust me. Let the captain and myself stay there for a good year and a half, so I can pick up a little aspect. Oh, I'd have people running, Captain. I'd have these fools running.
You never know what might happen. We might be broadcasting from there for about a good year. You never know. From Brighton, England.
You know,
here we go.
Lewis here. Let's warm up the Jaguar, please. Lower tier.
Lower tier. Bloody right. Bloody right.
Shutting out the UK fan base. We got about 5 minutes. Actually, you know, it's something else I wanted to talk about real briefly, Captain. I'm always backtracking on things. I'm always researching. I always reminisce to our listening audience. And I was reminiscing about the African-American flag or the Pan-African flag. I remember in my youth, thanks to the tangential producer of our show, The Oracle, who was also my father, he inculcated in me the notion of Black pride, and the Pan-African flag was very prominent, or the discussion of the Pan-African flag was very prominent in our household. So I was reminiscing about the flag because, you know, I don't really see any sense of Black pride being displayed to the degree that I remember so many years ago. Even when our music, there was a point where the music was more overt about Black pride, but even when the music was not overt about Black pride, I still felt prideful about the music and the culture. In today's culture, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here, I don't get any sense of Black pride or Black affirmation. When you see people like Chris Brown tweeting out, quote unquote, I'm a real nigger, there's no Black pride there. We have a whole roster of Black performers that just do not give me that sense of pride. And I don't know, not that you necessarily have to look for them for them to do that, but it would be nice to get that feeling. So I was thinking about this flag and its origins. Of course, it comes from Marcus Garvey's group, the Universal Negro Improvement Association. I believe in the 1920s, that this flag, the red, black, and green, this flag was developed because of a way to combat minstrelsy. It was to combat minstrelsy. There was a song at the turn of the century, folks, songs that were classified as coon songs. They were called coon songs. And there was a song that was very popular around this time called Every Race Has a Flag But the Coon. That was the name of the song. Every race has a flag but the coon. It was actually a popular record. And there's aspects of the current strain of hip-hop. Not all hip-hop, not the good stuff, but the commercial branding that we hear now is very much in the coon tradition. And the way people took to combating it was the development of this prideful Pan-African flag. So what I'm asking as we go on out is, where are the warriors to fight the minstrelsy? Where are they? Captain, any remarks before we close on out and go to we wait for Sunday show. Any thoughts on this?
Well, just as you said, you know, that whole flag was a response to the menstrual situation at that given time, because, you know, just as there were songs and everything going on, that, you know, everyone else had a flag, you know, the coons, so to speak, did not have a flag. So it was necessary for us to come together in some form. It'd be nice if we could get together right now in the present day and approach the president and say, this is what we want. That would be nice, you know, but, you know, that's just by the by. But at the given time, you know, it was necessary in responding to, you know, the songs at the given time that we weren't doing anything, you know, and that's what we were. We were coons. We actually were coons at the given time because there's no representation. So it was necessary for us to get behind a flag and say, this is us right here, and let's draw some strength, and let's be able to do our own thing. So it was very necessary at the given time, definitely.
All right, folks, listen, time is leaving us. It's been a pleasure. We'll do it again on Sunday. Let's go on out with some Sharon and the Dat Kings. This is Keep On Looking. We'll see you guys on Sunday. Thank you very much. Let's groove.